Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is We Watch Stuff 85. I'm Jeremy. Joining me on the other end is Shahid. After another week of sickness, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. I'm glad that only one of us got sick and it was not me. I'm glad that you're feeling better. I hope everyone's enjoying their New Year's and sticking to their resolutions past this point.
Okay, cool. Let's get right into the show because we both made the trek and saw Triple X, The Return of Xander Cage on Thursday. This wasn't actually promoted. It's coming out on Thursday. Like, most movies will say, you know, give the date of Friday, but then they will say select engagements on Thursday. I don't remember ever seeing an ad with...
All the ads I saw said Friday. I knew it was... I just checked Fandango to see Thursday, and it was like a... Like, this and Split both came out last night.
Okay, and as an aside, I have zero interest in seeing that movie Split. Knowing who the director is, I have no interest in that.
We're planning on seeing it as soon as our schedules align, because, one, I would have been on the same boat as you if I didn't see The Visit, the last movie he did, which kind of, like, redeemed him a little bit. You know, because that was actually like a decent movie, which was surprising considering where it came from. And everything I've read and heard about this one says it's a good movie and James McAvoy acts his ass off, which he would probably have to be. So, yeah. I was telling you when I was going to see the movie, like, it's because I saw the 10 o'clock Central show. I get the warnings, like, not a lot of people online unless it's something like Star Wars or Fast and Furious or a Marvel movie. So I get there and it's... I'm like, the line is like, it's like 20 people online, like 950. I'm like, well, what are they all going to see? I think majority of them went to see Split because in my theater, there was maybe about 10 to 15 people, all guys, all within my age range.
I had the exact opposite experience. I'm with you on the crowd being a little lower. Like, when we pulled in, the last movie we saw at like a... early engagement like this, or early showing, I guess I stopped saying engagement, an early showing like this was Rogue One, and the parking lot was absolutely packed. When we pulled in, and we went to a 7:30 show, there was barely any cars there. They didn't even have the box office open. You were just getting your tickets at the desk, the customer service desk. But I use Fandango as well, so, you know, just scan it, walk in. Concession line, and this is where I started to, like, the night kind of started going off the rails. The concession line was packed. It was as if everybody that was there was in line still. So all I wanted was a drink, and, you know, you got your overpriced stuff. There was some little lady. She kept asking questions as if this had been the first time she'd ever seen a movie or gone to the movies. And I have zero patience as it is. And I just looked at the wife, was like, oh my God, are you serious? And then, like, the guy in front of me kind of, like, turned around, looked at me, was like, hey. And then the people, like, as you snake through the line, we all started looking at each other like, oh no. There was only two people serving.
Okay, did anybody, like, say, am I jumping with the lady, hurry the fuck up or not?
No. there were a lot of, like, And this is how, like, you know, not to be, like, politicize it, but you always hear about how we're separate or we're divided. Nothing brings people together more like a mutual hatred for one person. It didn't matter what you looked like, what you were carrying, how many kids you had. Everyone hated that lady. She ended up asking, well, how long does it take to make nachos? How long does it take for mozzarella sticks? How long does it take for chicken fingers? And I wanted to say, this isn't a restaurant. Get your popcorn. Get out of line. And how long does it take to make nachos? You open the bag, stupid. They don't even, like, serve you. They just give you a bag of Tostitos minis and go, here, carry on. Anyways, it took us about 20 minutes in line. And it was at the point where it's like, well, I know if I get out of line, the line's going to start moving. So that's the only reason we stayed. And the poor other girl that was serving people, I think she, out of everybody in line, she maybe only saw 97% of the people. She was weathered by the end. So, and the lady that it took forever ended up spending $50.
The hell did she get? I know movie food is expensive, but you gotta work. And wait, one, how much food was she getting for like how many people? Like, you have, I think the most I've spent, and this is me and my wife together, and this is like, no, popcorn, two large drinks, two boxes of candy, and like a hot dog and nachos might be $35, close to $40. And that's like working. That's like I had to put effort to hit that amount.
Yeah,
so,
to get the $5 off. Yeah, I don't know. But when I looked at, like, they have the combo board. This is the first time I've ever really paid attention. A nachos and large drink was $13.07. And I'm not exaggerating. It is literally a small bag of Tostitos minis and then whatever cheese they give you. And a large drink for $13.
Yeah, I don't even want to get into movie food because that could take up 30 minutes.
Yeah. But I was would actually just say, dumbfounded yeah. how much that was. So
yeah. People talking about movies, a cheap date? No.
Oh, God, no.
A movie ticket, if you go during a certain time, may be a cheap date. Like, matinee tickets are $5. There's nothing cheap about movie food. Like, if you plan on eating at the, like, you can go to a 3D movie at night and get food for two and spend a good $50, $60.
Yeah.
Last time I checked, that is not considered a cheap date. Like, I've spent less going out to, like, restaurants than going to the movies. So,
yeah. And my theater wasn't too packed. Like, the AMC here has that assigned seating. So, mm-hmm. you know, you can get there whenever and you got your seat. Well, the previews started, and I missed the Fast and the Furious. I got to see the submarine, so I was happy. And then they played a lot of the same ones outside of Ghost in the Shell they played.
I saw that one.
We'll take that for another show, but and then something else. But then,
it looks how it looks. Basically, you're kind of like, we're going to sell a story. We don't know how, so let's show Scarlett Johansson in slow-mo looking naked.
Yes. Okay, yeah. So that's pretty much it. But then, out of the blue, like 10, 15 people walk in. And they are yelling to each other.
Oh, boy.
And I'm sitting there like, oh, come on. And they're talking through the previews. And I'm like, ah, it's the previews. Who cares? They'll shut up. Well, it kept going. And then they got up. And remember, this is assigned seating. So I think they just squatted in the theater. I don't think they paid to get in. So if they did, they were just running all over the place, choosing seats, whatever. And by the time the actual movie started, they had all quieted down. So it was all right. But they kept getting up, going, getting food, coming back, going, getting food, coming back. And I'm like, you know, you guys can buy everything at once, right? Like, movie starts, whatever. And that's where we'll end until we get later on, because it's just all downhill on the crowd front, at least. So,
I'm lucky I didn't have that crowd experience, because my crowd was basically a bunch of people the same age as me, and they were mostly quiet and laughing at the movie. Mm-hmm. And as far as previews, the only new ones I saw that I hadn't seen was Ghost in the Shell. That I remember was Ghost in the Shell, and this. I was gobsmacked because it was like this, you know, John Cena pops up. Hey, this is John Cena. I got a new movie coming out in March. It's called The Wall or something like that. And I'm thinking, oh, that's not. I know he had a new movie coming out. I thought it was a comedy. So it pops up, and it's him and Aaron Taylor Johnson, the Johnson Taylor, aka Kick-Ass and Quicksilver,
okay.
And the boring guy from Godzilla, like him, is like Border Patrol, I think Army Marine snipers, and it's like a drama / thriller. Like, it's just the two of them, like, getting shot and getting taunted by some Mexican guy on the radio. That's the only thing in the preview show, like, they're in the desert. I'm watching this, and it's talking about, oh, from director Doug Liman. I'm like,
wow.
Wait. Edge of Tomorrow, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Doug Liman, like, How the hell did John Cena get in a war, like a thriller slash drama with Doug Liman? As you know, not in. It's basically those two. That's the only people you see in the previews. Like, you see the name stars, you see Aaron Taylor Johnson's name first, and you see John Cena's name second. So they're like the leads.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. He will not be at WWE for too much longer.
That's what everyone keeps saying, but yet he keeps showing up.
I mean, The Rock kept showing up even after he did, like, the Scorpion King and other stuff. But, like, once The Rock realized, you know, yeah, this is going to be a thing, it went from I'm going to show up for 2 to 3 months at a time and take 3 months off to I'll show up for 3 months once a year to you won't see me for 7 years, basically. So I'm saying John Cena might have like one more year where he wrestles more than 3 to 4 months in the year. And yeah, he's going to be special attraction John Cena is what he's going to be.
Which is funny because he still does house shows. That blows my mind still. But anyways, we got a lot to talk about on the main topic here. So where can we even begin with it?
I guess you know what. Okay,
I think we're gonna have two different takes, but come to the same conclusion.
Yeah. So okay, it was two things that popped up to me after watching this movie. Three things. One. It's like they took a movie out of the 90s and put it in 2017.
Yeah.
Because think about it. When's the last time you saw a movie where they had opening credits?
Yeah. Okay, I'm glad you pointed that out because I thought there was something weird at the beginning of the movie. And that's it. Yeah, that's exactly
that's what it.
It was. Yep.
Movies don't do that anymore because it's like, oh, we could spend 3 minutes doing that or we could spend 3 minutes on the movie. And it's like, no, we're doing it this way. Like it's like an old school movie where they're introducing people, they're introducing locations. It's like goof. It's the difference between this one and I think the first two. The first two were movies trying to be cool and edgy, and just came off as goofy. This one knew it was goofy, and it just came off a lot better. It's kind of like we're not even trying to be all super, like semi-serious to prove a point. And yeah, it was kind of like Vin Diesel, like, you know what? I saw how Fast Five worked once I started adding diverse people in The Rock. So let me take those lessons and add this here and just have a batshit crazy cast. Like, I don't think we spent enough time realizing how ridiculous the cast was.
I didn't understand how ridiculous it was until I saw the movie.
Yeah. Like, which one stands out more? Tony Jaa, Donnie Yen, and Michael Bisping in the same movie?
Was that Tony Jaa?
Yes.
That was driving me nuts.
With the blonde. Yes, yeah. As acting like a blonde rave nutball with Tony Jaa. I'm like, and it's hilarious because if you've seen any of his movies, that's like the exact opposite of the role he types to play. Like, either he's like, you know, a solemn badass or he's mad. Somebody kicked his elephant or he's like, you know, serious. Not playing like a damn raver with blonde hair. Like, I'm watching this, and that movie did that a couple of times. Like, I'm like, wait a second. I know Tony Jaa's in the movie. That's him? It took 2 minutes for you see people in normal roles not acting in a normal way. Like, you see that. Or the one that really had me laughing. I know you don't watch Vampire Diaries, but you've heard of it.
Yeah.
So the main star that she, like, we talk about Nina Dobrev, she was on there for like 7-8 years and she left. She's drop dead gorgeous. Okay. I'm watching a movie and she's in the movie for like 2 minutes before I realized that tech nerd girl named Becky was her. The audacity of a movie to take somebody that looks like a damn supermodel half the time to ugly her up, have her act like basically Felicity Smoke if Felicity Smoke took Viagra. And just like, you know what, we're just gonna take this girl in here, turn into a goofball, and you just gonna roll with it.
Okay, see, I not having seen Vampire Diaries, I don't know what she looks like normally. But the only ugly person in this movie,
I know you're about to say, go ahead.
Well, was Sam Jackson, because that hair was atrocious, and then the scar. But then the guy that plays the Hound, his name, I just lost his name. Those are the only ugly people in this movie. Everybody was beautiful. Maybe, yeah, that's preference. So, to say, like, they dressed up as, like, this tech nerd? No, 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 no. The hot-ass tech nerd is
what, the whole thing is like
even
this.
Even the soldiers were gorgeous. Yeah.
You know what's funny, though? She'd be a 9 in any other movie. She's like the third most, but she's like the third most attractive woman in this damn movie. When normally she'd be like either 1 or 1A. Because, yeah. What's the name? Deprika Pudicone? Pritikone?
That's all you.
And so. Yeah, and Ruby Rose. They're alien level, like, gorgeous. Like, not, you know how you got like people like they look good, and if you add makeup, they look great. Like, you know, Jennifer Lawrence and Scarlett Johansson. And then you had like those women that's like almost painfully beautiful, like Charlize Theron, like they don't look human. Yeah, those girls are not. Like, I remember Ruby Rose from Orange and New Black, and I remember people talking about, oh yeah, yeah, blah blah blah, we got this new girl. I don't know if it's the face, the haircut, or what it is about her, but she just like, yeah.
The funny thing with her, and like, this is all complimentary. Mm-hmm. She's exotic without being exotic. Like,
yeah,
she's kind of, and honestly, she's kind of plain, but she's got that, the shorts, like bob haircut that's a teal color, but it looks black in other times, and then, you know, the slender, and then, did she have an accent? I couldn't place
yeah,
that.
She's Australian.
Oh, all right. Yeah. So you got that working for her as well. So, and then the tattoos, which that's a preference thing for me, girls with tattoos, mm-hmm. just yum. Yeah. So, but yeah, you said 90s. I think there was a healthy dose of 80s movie in there as well. Which, like, we were driving back. I was smiling the entire time. Because this movie was a combination of stuff, and it was so ridiculous. That's exactly what I wanted.
Yeah, and they embraced it. Like, okay, what other movie... Just think about how the movie starts. It's Samuel L. Jackson recruiting Neymar.
Yeah, with that... Oh, yeah, all right.
He's playing him, playing himself. Like, he's not playing somebody different. He's Neymar, like... I'm trying to think, for people who don't watch soccer, don't realize he's like one of the top 5 most popular and best soccer players on the planet. If Kevin disagrees, he can say maybe he's overrated, he's top 10. But he's extremely popular worldwide. He's the best player in Brazil. So for people who don't watch soccer, imagine if someone recruited, I don't know, if Cam Newton was in there and he's playing Cam Newton. It's like, you know, why don't you give up the NFL and begin join the XXX5 program? Like how batshit? I'm watching this, and that's not even the most. That's like probably the fourth most batshit crazy thing in there. Because, oh yeah, Tony Gonzalez is one of the main villains of the movie.
Okay, see, this is where I was trying to figure stuff out, because they had like it is Neymar, it's the real mm-hmm. guy. Okay. But then you got Tony Gonzalez is in there. And I know this is acting, but you got Tony Gonzalez, and then you've got Michael Bisping. I thought it would have been funnier.
Conor McGregor.
Yeah, I thought it would have just been funnier if that was actually Michael Bisping. Just, yeah, they recruited me from UFC, and now I'm part of XXX. That would have been really funny. But, you know, that's just the preference. And then even like Tony Gonzalez, just like, yeah, you know, NFL career's over, so now I'm part of the special forces, which doesn't actually work in this case because
but it's funny where you see the previews, you think, oh, he just shows up for a cameo, and okay, you see the riff where he gets, you know, tossed out of the plane. Okay, you probably seen that one time, ha ha, don't see him again. No, he shows up like 30 minutes later. like it's no big deal. And I'm like, okay, it's one of those movies. Like, yeah, like this, if anyone thinks Vin Diesel doesn't know what he's doing, Vin Diesel knows what he's doing. Like, he knows what he's doing cast-wise. He basically says, I'm going to take things from all over the world, all forms of entertainment. I don't care where it's from. Because the one guy, you know, quick example, we start going to a movie, when they first get in the Philippines, and the guy that's trying to buy the weapons and stuff,
yeah.
Apparently he's some big-time reggaeton star, like one of his YouTube guys got like 70 million views. Like, And it's not the first time he's done that, because, you know, the dudes from Fast Four, like Fast and Furious, the fourth one and the fifth one, they were both, you know, big time reggaeton music singers. And in Fast Seven, when they went, when they were hiding on the island with me and Brian, that guy that had the big mansion, he's a reggaeton singer. So yeah, Vin Diesel's like, I'm gonna get people I like, or people from all over. You know, I'm gonna get, if it's from the UFC, I'm gonna get it. From Game of Thrones, I'm gonna get that too. Like, I just, you know, because he's done that before, like sports, music, martial arts. Like, when would you ever thought you'd see a movie with, even the fact that it's funny that Michael Bisping is in that movie, and originally Conor McGregor was in it, he had to drop out because of scheduling, which would have been extremely hilarious. But you see him, Tony Jaa, and Donnie Yen, and it's like, oh yeah, I like them. I like action movies. I like them. And it's funny where Donnie Yen took Jet Li's spot.
Oh, did he? Was that, that was supposed to be Jet Li?
That was supposed to be Jet Li, and Jet Li had to drop out. That was a, that
I don't think Jet Li would have done as well.
No, that, because he doesn't. Yeah, I'll just say this: that was a damn upgrade. Donnie Yen was probably the best part of the movie.
Yeah,
and
you know, I've been talking about
he should have been in Hollywood a long time ago, because all this whole thing, we can't find Asian men as stars, was nonsense. But you could kind of say, oh, well, I don't know if I found any that speak English well enough or look, you know, a certain way. People embrace it. I'm like, yeah, you cannot use that. That was a BS excuse before, but you could have had some merit, because you had Jackie Chan and Jet Li, and English aren't their first language. Yeah, Donnie Yen grew up in Boston. So you cannot use that excuse anymore. Like, that movie, I'm feeling the same way. It's been like, this is just a batshit crazy movie that knows it's batshit crazy. And it's just like, we know who's going to watch. Like, if you're going to watch this movie, you know what you're getting into. So
yeah,
roll it. And the first thing I thought when the movie was over is like, I hope it makes enough money so it gets a sequel with these people.
Okay. So the beginning of this movie, and I'm not cutting you off on that, but there's, it's the work its way around. You said Vin Diesel knows what he's doing, and you know, yeah, Vin Diesel knows exactly what he's doing. And this is, I went to this movie because I wanted to see all this crazy ass stuff. I wanted to see two guys. I didn't know it was gonna be a race. Basically, two guys race on motorcycles that are somehow equipped with skis, whatever, you know.
I just watched Donnie, specials.
Yeah, I just watched Donnie Yen jump 30 feet. Is that what they said? Through six plates of glass of reinforced tempered whatever security glass without a scratch on him, and then shoot a bunch of people and then escape. I watched Michael Bisping beat somebody with a book, which I got a real big kick out of. And then, so I'm like, cool, action, action, action. I went for the action part. And I hoped beyond hope the plot and the acting would be okay. You know, one out of three isn't so bad in most, in this case, because when they're talking, and after the big, you know, the big heist in the beginning, and Toni Collette goes, these guys, our guys don't move like these guys. And I'm like, oh no, don't. And she kept going. And then she goes, we need someone that'll walk into a tornado and come out as if it was a stiff breeze. And I just went, oh God, here we go. I was like, I know what the rest of this movie dialogue is going to be like. And it never disappointed me.
Yeah, basically, it's, how would the lines The Rock saying the Fast and Furious movie sound if the Rock wasn't saying them? Is kind of like how that movie was. Like, yeah, it doesn't sound the same when it's not The Rock doing it. That shows how awesome The Rock is.
Yes.
And yeah, Toni Collette. Okay.
Oh boy.
I got, see, it's, I don't even want to get into, I don't know if it's, it's been a long time since I've seen United States of Terror. Or I do not remember her looking like that, first of all. And it was kind of women preference. You know what? I'm not even going to comment on that, because I want to be a gentleman in 2017. I would just say
she looked totally different. That's all right. Yes. She looked different.
She looked different. She looked noticeable on the screen that she looked different. But it's, I say Vin Diesel has the silver medal of how the hell did he get these people to agree to be in his movies? Like Michael Bay still has that gold medal. So, but Vin Diesel's just like, Tony Gallette is hamming it up, chewing up scenery. And that's saying something with a movie with Samuel Jackson in it, where he basically came off as low key compared to her, which helped, like, he's barely in the movie, but that's, yeah, that's her walking around, stomping around, cracking jokes about Vin Diesel's ugly ass coat.
We can't gloss over the coat, but yeah, keep, well, that's a definite.
Just her just doing that, and then her basically like, you know, I'm just going to be the hard ass, you know, suit in charge, you know, cracking jokes and thinking you basically trash with trying to convince you to be on my team. And then, of course, I'm going to be the villain in the second half of the movie.
Of course, yeah.
And that's, yeah. And up to her death scene that you don't really see, but gets one line off at the end. Yeah. Like, she knew what movie she was in, too. And it was kind of hard. Like, she's trying to play it.
She prepared for it, too.
Yeah, all those lines. And I was thinking the same thing you thinking. You know, that movie had a lot of stuff going on. I never felt bored.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
And this is what I was trying to explain to the wife last night. We were coming home. Because she's like, you're talking like you didn't like it, but you're smiling and you're excited about it. I was like, no. I enjoyed this movie. I don't know if it was good or not, but I enjoyed the hell out of this hour and 40 minutes, whatever, that it was a short movie, which mm-hmm. that surprised me too. So, but yeah, just Toni Collette, this is where I think the 80s came in, because all throughout the movie, they kept using one-liners, like a Schwarzenegger, Seagal, Van Damme, like, what was the thing, what did Diesel say when Tony Gonzalez got, I told you, whatever, and then I just needed two flushes. And I was like, oh, God. And then there was something earlier. It was just one one-liner after another. So, and that's where the 80s part came in. And then also, before we get into how awesome Vin Diesel is, in case you don't know, this movie is going to tell you for an hour and a half.
Oh, especially when he doesn't have to share the screen time with that diva, The Rock. It's almost like Vin Diesel's like, you know what? I need my own franchise, action franchise. Well, I don't have to share the screen with a bigger movie star than me. So I'm going to do triple. It's almost like I want to do Fast and Furious, but get away from The Rock.
Yeah, and that pesky Ludacris and Tyrese. Yeah.
And normally that would be so egotistical, because it's Vin Diesel. He straddles that line between being a damn egomaniac and being lovable, because it's kind of like you push him 2 degrees to the left and he'd probably be an insufferable asshole. Like, real easy. You can see that real easy based on, like, you know, he has supreme confidence in what he does. He has to do everything his way. When his movies, he makes them, you know, he makes himself to be like that Steven Seagal syndrome, where Steven Seagal barely, forget losing a fight in a movie, he barely gets punched in his movies. And that's almost like Vin Diesel's thing. Like, I gotta always look good and win fights at all time. But he has a different type of he's self-aware enough to know this kind of like, I know how I look, I know you're gonna laugh, but you're gonna enjoy me anyway, and I don't care. And for some reason it works. It should not work, but it's 2017 and Vin Diesel is a movie star with 3 franchises of his own. So it's working.
He somehow turned his character into a messiah. Because whenever he's around, people lose their shit. And it starts off with him, he was stealing a battery from a cell tower? Is that what that was?
I think it was something like either that or a transponder or something from a satellite. Okay. I was wondering what that whole thing.
What that whole thing was? Hey, you know what would be really cool? To ski down a cell phone tower and then ski through the jungle. Why would we do that?
Yeah.
Have him steal some gray box. I don't care. Do it. Film it.
and then skateboard through, like, you know, down the highway, so getting high fives and cheers.
People and running, like, after him cheering like he's Robin Hood or Jesus. Yes. I was laughing at some of this because I'm like, yeah, this, like, is so ridiculous.
Watching that, and I'm like, everybody high five, and he's on. He do this, you know, the scene on the bus, the little skating on the side of a bus, and everything. I'm like, okay, what's the point of all of this? Well, then he puts it in. His soccer game comes on, and then his girlfriend at the time, like, oh, you know, it'd been a lot cheaper just to pay your cable bill. He's like, I'm not giving this money to the billionaire overlords. They won't even know it. Blah blah blah. I'm a man of the people, because that's the whole thing. Triple H, like. It's actually part of his character. This whole thing is like, he does stuff for a reason. It's kind of like, you know, I do stuff for the little man because the big man ain't looking out for us.
Well, how about all the medium people who now their cell phones don't work, asshole? Maybe all the people that were watching the soccer game on in an American broadcast, mind you, on my phone, I can't watch it anymore thanks to you. You didn't think of all those people, did you?
Uh-huh. Well, if you and Santo Domingo trying to watch the soccer game, then...
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Go back home, gringo.
Did you notice it was on NBCSN? It was on an American station.
I didn't even notice that, yes. Which is it's hilarious.
A company, so no, NBC's Comcast now, isn't it? Or are they Universal?
Unless I know they were Universal. I don't know if it changed anytime soon, but. Yeah. The way they change, you wouldn't be surprised. So you see all that, and then, yeah. Of course, their whole recruitment scene, because they've done that before. Wait.
You forgot. Uh-huh. You forgot the subtlety during the lovemaking part, to where they start going at it, and then all of a sudden, a dump truck dumps a bunch of salt out, and then they're done making love, and he's standing around.
You know what? I didn't even
think about that.
Like, I saw that and didn't think anything of it.
Yep.
Because I'm
Vin
not
Diesel
you.
Don't pull out, my friend. So that's what that was.
You know what? I'm sure there's a level that if you go deep into it, this movie says a lot about Vin Diesel, and that's a level I fear going to. So I'll let you go. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
Because I saw the salt truck, and yeah. I didn't even think anything of it. I like how, you know, he knocks her off and then leaves the skateboard, like, makes sure you don't fall.
yeah, bitch, get your ass home. Here's a skateboard.
That's your parting gift. Vin Diesel, international lover, that never gets old. I wish you could see the face I'm making when I'm...
Yeah.
But then the scene where he gets recruited, and it's just hilarious because it's like a replay of, like, the scene from the first one.
It's been so long since I've seen that first one. I think a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, I had seen it. The only reason I remembered it because I had never saw the first one from beginning to end until maybe a couple weeks ago. And it came when I happened to watch it. And it was like, yeah, this is not the movie I remember. Because I remember, like, the stunts and stuff. I didn't remember I really didn't watch this movie the way I thought I watched this movie, because it was not what I expected. So, but that's for, you know, the whole, how do you know is a thing. It's like, okay, this guy came up to me. Of course, he assumed speak English. This guy's got Beats headphones and yada, yada, yada. He got, you know, fake body armor. That's why I knew the gun was fake. So it's basically like, okay. So Vin Diesel, just a master of his surroundings. In addition to being, I guess you would have to be if you skiing down mountains and skateboarding and stuff like that.
Also, if you've been on the run for 11 years or trying to hide, I'll accept that. But yeah, it was funny they addressed that, because I'm like, so wait a minute, the magic white guy shows up like in every movie, and they're just gonna go along with it. And then when he busted out, you know, the logic on it, I was like, oh. All right, good. All right, this is,
you know,
for
what's
a dumb
funny?
Movie, that was a little smarter than I anticipated. So.
It's funny how you describe that. You said the magic white guy, mm-hmm. and Vin Diesel's not even white.
No, I meant the guy that sat down next to him talking.
Oh, I'm thinking you're talking about the whole, like, you know, how this guy just knows everything around him.
No. I meant, like,
oh,
the guy who's old, man.
Like, well, yeah, okay.
We're gonna start getting another map or whatever. Yeah, him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just sits down, like, because what strange man just sits down next to you and start talking?
Yeah, exactly.
Must usually involve something illegal. When it's a strange old man, so yeah. So you have that scene, okay, blah blah blah. why are you recruiting me? You know, Gus. Yeah, because we didn't get the whole part where Samuel Jackson does a rock. He's in the beginning of the movie. You think he dies. So you don't see him the rest of the movie because a damn satellite falls on his head. And yeah, I'm trying to. I'm not even going to try to.
If you guys haven't figured this out yet, spoilers. So just turn it off. Yeah. It's your own fault. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure the logistics of how a satellite from space falls like maybe 5 feet away from you and you don't die. Him and Neymar. Yeah. Like, they just show up like it's no big nose scratch or nothing. But we'll get to that point when we get to that point. It's like we are talking about the movie we're talking about. So,
yes.
Yeah. I just thought it was – I didn't think about it too much. I just thought it was funny. Because even when that scene happened, I was like, oh, he's going to come back. Like, I didn't think he was going to be dead.
Oh, see, I figured they were just starting from scratch. So it was like, here's an ode to the originals. He's gone. And I really did think he was gone. So that – when he showed up at the end, I was like, oh, okay. Well,
Had it been somebody else, I would have been like you. But knowing that it was Samuel Jackson, knowing that that's not the first time in this movie series where that has happened, where you thought he's died and come back no problem.
Oh, okay.
And considering that's not the first time Samuel L. Jackson in movies has maybe sort of kind of did something like that and came back.
You're going where I wanted to go, so good. I enjoyed the Neymar fact card where it said he thought he was being recruited for the Avengers.
Uh-huh.
And then Sam Jackson shows up at the end of the movie. If you're still listening, your fault. He shows up at the end of the movie with a bald head, and he has glasses on. He has sunglasses on, excuse me, but one of the lenses is missing so that it looks like he has an eye patch. And I'm going, are they just doing this on purpose? Like,
yes, they're doing this on purpose.
Like, blatantly saying, no, this is Nick Fury as well. Like, it's XXX. But wait a minute, that ties into our whole thing with Fast and the Furious. How it's a superhero movie. It's the same. This is Universal's superhero franchises now. Can you imagine a XXX Fast and the Furious crossover? How confusing but awesome that would be?
Yeah, that's a little too much. Vin Diesel playing two different people. Yeah, we just need one Vin Diesel.
After his acting in this, yes, I'm fine with Dominic Toretto. Yeah,
some things like, and it's funny where you think about those two movies and like the characters. The only thing they have in common is Vin Diesel, and he has to be awesome. But they're two completely different characters. Like, even though it's funny, just thinking, to compare the two series, because it's like Dominic Toretto is like, you know, I'm all about family and me familiar, and I do whatever I do to help out my crew and my, like, I'm a bad guy, but I got a code of honor, and I do the right thing. Xander Cage is a dickhead with a code of honor. Like, he just is. Smart alecky asshole speaking thing. Oh, you just a puppet for the man and yada yada yada. Like, oh, how you gonna get the plans to find out? We didn't talk about the plot of the movie. Basically, somebody's using some tech to bring satellites down from the sky to crash into stuff.
Which I guess makes sense, but
yeah, like, I mean, I could see it being done. Yeah, and it's kind of like, okay, well, you need to get that type of technology because you don't want somebody bringing down basically asteroids down whenever they feel like it. And you got this one team, like the one team's Tony Jaa, Michael Bisping, Donnie Yen, and I don't even want to butcher her name again. And they have different opinions on the box. Like, you know, she wants to destroy it. He wants to use it. You want the whole thing. It's kind of like it's a backstory behind where you can tell they all have history the way they kind of banter with each other. But they don't like spend 15 minutes explaining it. It's kind of like, you know, it's implied.
Okay.
And it helps. And
what did he want to save the box for, though? Like, what was he going to use it for?
I think either I don't know if he was going to sell it or what. I think his whole thing is, I knew where she was coming from. She's like, this is too damn dangerous for somebody to use it. which makes sense because she was right. But you're wondering, like, why is she thinking that? Because you're thinking, are they terrorists? Are they, like, what are they? And it comes out later, like, spoiler alert, oh, they're Triple X agents too, which I didn't see coming until it came to Donnie and start talking that speech, the whole thing, like, you know, oh, I ran to him, like, because this whole thing is, you know, I was going to die, and then I ran to a man that was talking about, you know, skateboards and pools and yada, yada, yada. It's like, oh, what, he's a fallen Triple X agent? Like, what? They were doing a lot in this damn movie when they really didn't have to. And I'm surprised how much time Donnie Yen got. Like, we might as well talk about him. Like,
yes, he because got it plays a, into the end. So, yes.
Yeah. Like, he basically got close to almost as much time, like, as Vin Diesel did. And I was liking his story more than I was liking Vin Diesel's story. Like, yeah. I want to know more about him because, one, his actions, like, that action was ridiculous. Like, his scenes, that's...
See, I've got a criticism of some of the action scenes, though.
No, I'm not talking about... I'm talking about, like, his... I'm talking about his stuff.
See, like, even the scene at the end with him fighting in, like, zero gravity, shooting the guns and all that, when it came down to him actually fist fighting, I'll put it in those terms, when it came to fist fighting, they filmed it so close together, like, the shots were so tight that it made him look incredibly fast, yes. But you also, to me at least, I'd lost some of, well, it sounds childish, but you lost some of the awesomeness of it. Like, he was taking on three guys in a row, but most of the time they only showed him fighting one guy when they were all in the same vicinity. So it was like, I wanted to see more of him just beating the bejesus out of all three at the same time instead of a single
one. You know what it is that's jumping in for you? You're used to, you like the Raid. And you're used to how, like, if you watch, like, Asian action movies and how they film stuff, it's a disconnect to how Americans, like Americans film. Because American stuff is, like, quick cut scene.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
It's kind of like, I hit one guy, move the next guy. Because it was, like the beginning scene, within, like, 10 seconds, he shoots about six guys and beats up four guys.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Shoot. Spin, shoot, flip, kick, spin, and everything is like, and he's having fun doing it. Like, he's not in this, you know, workmanlike martial arts. It's like he knows he's a badass and he's enjoying himself doing it. And they're filming it like, yes, we know we have Donnie Yen doing Donnie Yen stuff. And that's what we're going to show. Like, he is, and it's one, it helps that he can do it in real life. It's not like I'm a trained movie martial artist. Like, no, I'm a martial artist because my mom was, and I competed, like, for real, and you can tell. Like, it's a difference between people that's, like, it's a difference between Keanu Reeves, where he got good, where he wasn't, like, a natural martial artist. He just did it long enough to where you could believe he does that stuff because he's just trained. Like, he's trained himself long enough where, yeah. And somebody like Donnie Yen, Wesley Snipes, where... No, they're martial artists that do movies. And you can see, like, it's a difference. Like, one just looks... It's a difference between people who are good because they trained, like, they worked hard to get good, and people that worked hard to get good is already good, and then just jumped into this. And it's... You don't see that in American movies that much. Like, we're spoiled because we've seen, like, The Raid and that stuff, and those type of movies where it's kind of... And, like... Tony John movies where you have like a 2-minute one shot thing where you're seeing everything, and even like Marvel movies, and like, I mean, not even Marvel movies, like Marvel Netflix fight scenes and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fight scenes, where even those kind of like, they let you see everything that's going on. It's not a lot of quick cuts anymore, but most movies still don't even do that, because, and I think one of the reasons why they didn't do that with him is because unless you got people that could hang with him, it is S. You asking a lot. And,
yeah. And
I think it's kind of like, yeah, he's dunking on, you know, we're trying to dunk on a 10-foot rim, and he looks like he's dunking on an 8-foot rim. So we're going to have to work with this.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. And I don't know. I guess watching the movie, like, it's Donnie Yen stood out the whole time. He stole the Star Wars Rogue One as well. And so maybe it was just me. I'm like, I just got to see more of this stuff. So,
I mean, he's good.
Yeah, yeah. But when they contrast it with the rough cuts, not rough cuts, but the jump cuts, quick cuts, the long shots of Vin Diesel fighting so they can get somebody else in there doing it, that cracked me up too. And that's, I don't think this was intentional, but this is what reminded me of like the 80s action movies, to where, you know, Arnie was doing his own stuff for a while, but then it was clear, you know, him, Sly, Chuck Norris, they weren't doing all the really dangerous stuff, but they did such a good job of finding a body double for Vin Diesel in most of it. Like, do you for one second think Vin Diesel is actually skateboarding down the mountain?
Hell no. Yeah. But the funny thing is, they had people really doing... It's funny when I read that, talking about, oh, these are stunts that was inspired by real-life stunts and done for the most part by real-life people in the movie. And I would think I wouldn't be that surprised considering, like, Fast and Furious does that to a certain extent. But I'm like, what? That's insane if that's really... And that's the thing where... You kind of lose, and I think we've talked about this before, we're so used to seeing fake stuff that we don't necessarily appreciate the real stuff. And it's kind of like, you see Donnie Yen doing all this stuff because he can do all this stuff. And you know how awesome Donnie Yen is? Tony Jaa's in this movie, and you only think about, like, he was that scene. I know we jump around the movie. That scene where he did the jump to cut the power line to electrocute them.
Yeah.
Like, that was an awesome scene. Like, Tony Jaa is not a slouch. Like, he was basically, okay, who's the action? He was basically the guy people talk about action, like, martial arts movies after Jet Li got old. And before Tony Jaa, like, you know, decided to stop doing movies to be a monk. Like, Tony Jaa was that guy for, like, 2 or 3 years. Before the Raid and before people discovered Donnie Yen, it was Tony Jaa. And he's in this movie too, and it's kind of like you almost forget he's in this movie because, one, Donnie Yen is in this movie, and two, I don't know what type of character he was playing. It's like I've been saying that a lot. He wasn't boring. Like, he was definitely noticeable every time I see him. I don't know if he was like hyped up on Adderall, Mountain Dew, or whatever. He busy cracking jokes. Wait, Mike, like him and Michael Bisping is this odd couple cracking jokes with each other. When would you ever thought you was gonna say that? I saw a movie where Michael Bisping and Tony Jaa were playing odd couple henchmen in a movie.
Yeah, that didn't have like your stereotypical like we're at odds with each other stuff. Because you know, most of the time, like, well, they turn out to be good guys, but you know, most of the time, the villains, if there's henchmen, there's always like animosity between the two. In this, there wasn't any. It was just like, yeah, we're all pretty awesome at what we do, so, yeah, all right. And it was kind of refreshing, but at the same time, it doesn't give you a lot of drama as well. But Bisping cracked me up, and then, okay. I have to make this point about how masturbatory it was for Vin Diesel to make this movie, because he's not only a Jesus role, then he goes to England, and...
Oh, I was waiting for us to get to this part.
Oh, my God. he puts that ugly-ass jacket on.
That's from the first movie.
For whatever reason. No, I know that.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay. And then he's talking to some super hacker chick who's on house arrest, who, of course, is in a lush whatever place. And which leads to another part we have to talk about, or another aspect of this movie. But then she's sexy as hell, of course. Mm-hmm. But she's not going to fuck him. And he's like, oh, you're just teasing me. She goes, well, my friends here will take care of you. So in 20 minutes, Vin Diesel has played the Jesus role, and then now he is a super freak because he fucks all 8 of those chicks.
And not only he does, but he does it for his country.
Yes.
He's doing it just to get info to fulfill his mission for America. So he's he's slinging his dick for patriotism.
Sure.
If that's not a Vin Diesel thing, then I don't know what a Vin Diesel thing. And you know the difference between this movie and the first one? when he was walking around with that ugly ass coat back in the '90s, he used to be all cool and extreme and yada yada yada. And that coat was ugly back then. And I remember watching that movie. Now you realize that coat is ugly because they just cracking jokes like, "Yeah, we got your damn coat. We're gonna hang it up. I wouldn't be surprised if the stadium might walk away." Like, they realize, like, yeah, this was some relic from back in the day. We can laugh, and that's the difference. They can laugh at how silly they are, and before they weren't, and well, that's why this movie is a lot more enjoyable.
There was one part, the jacket didn't last long, but it was around enough to when he gets in the car talking to Toni Collette, he turns to talk to her, and he is eating the collar of that coat while he's talking to her. And I'm like, did no one on set look through the screen and go, "All right, we got to trim the collar down because the pieces of cotton were going in his mouth as he's talking." I was like, "Oh my God, this is so uncomfortable. Just move it with your hand. Just do something, anything right now." But yeah, and I know I'm putting the focus on Vin Diesel using this as like a narcissistic project, but he does allow everybody else to be awesome too.
Yeah.
Not as awesome as he is. I mean, come on. There's 100, and then there's 50. And everyone else is probably at 50. So they still get their time, just not as enough. But the one glaring aspect of that is the DJ, the hood. What was his thing? He's just cool?
He distracts people. He's so dope as a DJ that it's kind of like when we need a distraction, throw him a turntable and an iPod, and he, like, beside the fact that he can apparently, you know, has no problem shooting guns and fight, like, it's funny where you don't realize it's because, you know, like, Vin Diesel know all these people, but the way they played is like the DJ guy and the Hound know each other too. Yeah.
Yes, they all magically, like, know each other somehow. Yes.
And it's just funny to seeing that, like, they're playing. It's funny where you had like two sets of, like, you know, mismatched sidekicks that kind of know each other. At least like Bisbing and Jaws, like, okay, they on the same team, so they know each other. How the hell are these two people? That's like either they became friends that fast, or they already knew each other. You just assume, or it's like, you know what? Don't even ask, because it's. He just show up as like, "I need this version." Because everybody's asking, like, what does he do? Because, you know, Ruby Rose, yeah, she's this badass sniper. So you always need a sniper. And she's going to show you how badass she is. Because she can just hop up a tree, take some rags and tie up and make a sniper stand. And then slide around down the tree. She could probably run 22 miles an hour with no problem. Well, I guess if you weigh 85 pounds, you can do that. And she never misses. Fine. Everyone likes, you know, women with guns, people like that. That's cool. The Hound, what does he do? He drives, and he's crazy. And he thinks he's bulletproof. That whole, "I got a plan, I'm going to put in my mouthpiece and run toward people with guns, and I don't have a gun." I thought he was going to die. And I was just laughing, like, what's, and the dude even said, like, "Yeah, next time I make up the plan and you follow me." But the DJ guy's like, "What's his thing?" "Hey, you need the version." Yeah. People love music. There you go.
Okay. If that makes you feel better, that's fine. But I looked at it as his power is he's just awesome. Because he sneaks into the club at the beginning. The guy's like, "Hey, this guy just snuck in." He goes around to everyone's like, "Hey, you're awesome." Goes next, "Hey, you're pretty awesome." Goes up to the DJ booth, climbs on stage, no one cares. He just gets it, and he, of course, the idiot DJ culture, hits a button, and the music starts going. He throws his arms up. He's like, "I'm awesome." And I'm, like, thinking, okay, what's his special thing? Nope. Does the music hypnotize everybody or something?
There are people like that in real life, Jeremy.
Oh, yeah, those are all people I hate. So I didn't like his character.
Yeah. The guy that dated Taylor Swift before Tom Hiddleston dated Taylor Swift, what's his name, Calvin Harris?
I have no idea.
Yeah, he's rich as hell, and he's basically a DJ. There are these skinny 115-pound DJs that come in with their playlist, hit a button, go all over the world, make these rich people dance and poor people dance and make a boatload of money. If I didn't know, I'm not in the DJ culture, but I know enough of it exists to know, like, he's probably the most realistic character in the movie, and that's saying a lot about this damn movie, because it's like, yeah, imagine if TJ Perkins was really cool instead of fake cool.
The good wrestling reference, by the way, for those who don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. That's who he is. He's TJ Perkins if TJ Perkins wasn't a big ass phony.
Yeah, well, that's Kevin and I actually talked about that on the Stunt Granny show this week. Like, why isn't he getting over? And I wish you would have been on, because I think you could have saved us a 10-minute conversation.
Oh, so. Do not give me stuff. You know what? Me and, like, Cam noticed it, and then I noticed. Like, even during the Cruiserweight, quick aside, we'll go back to the movie. Even during the Cruiserweight Classic, I was not rooting for TJ Perkins. Well, like, it's something about him that's just rubbing me the wrong way. And I couldn't put my finger on it during the tournament. Like, it's just something that's off. Like, it wasn't – part of it I've been, you know, like, he was good, but he wasn't, like – he wasn't as cool as the cool wrestlers, and he didn't wrestle as great as the great wrestlers. So it was almost kind of like, you know, we're picking this guy because he has a presentable face and a nice story, and he's good enough.
I also thought he was over on the contract.
Yeah, but then you see him – and you see the dabbing and all this stuff and the outfits. And I'm like, this guy's a damn, he's a phony. Like, he's a culture vulture. And it clicked once they got on Raw. And that's kind of like, and ever since then, I know other people start noticing too, like, yeah. And that's why TJ Perkins all over? Because he's a fake. Yep. And he's not as good as John Cena. Like, you know, John Cena was kind of like that too. But he embraced it enough, and he was so goofy, likable, where it was fine until it became grating. TJ Perkins isn't that likable cool. So,
oh, no, not at all. No, no. But, yeah,